till your kingdom come. Forever you reign.
Everywhere we go, we see thy victory. So bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
I am living
in the overflow.
So bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
No prison, We're standing on holy ground. Lord. Psalm 34:7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." Fear the Lord, you holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. Today you may have come in here with frustrations, with lack, with difficulties, but you know what? We're standing in the presence of the Lord today. We're joined together to worship him, and so today, let's get our answers. Let's not leave out of here without our answers. So today I'm asking you to take a leap of faith. Take a leap with me. I know a lot of you don't like to move out of your seats. Guess what? This lady don't either. But when there is lack, I'm going to get what I need. So if you lack something in your life, if you have a need for something in your life, I want you to step out now. I want you to step out now into the aisles up to the altar. And I want you to begin to seek the Lord. I want you to begin to seek his face. I want you to ask him to fill your lacks, to fill your needs, to fill your desires, to fill your wants. Father, we come to you. And Lord, you see your people stepping out in acknowledgement of their needs. You see your people, Father, reaching toward you. And Lord, we join together today in your presence, asking you, Lord, to touch those that have physical needs. Bring healing, Father, to their bodies. Father, in the name of Jesus, bring relief from pain. Lord, in the name of Jesus, allow those people to feel your presence now. And Lord, those with financial needs that don't know how they're going to do the things that are required of them to do in this month, Father, in the name of Jesus, work miracles. Work changes in their behalf financially. Lord, for those with children that they have such a deep concern about, Father, draw those children to you. Lord, allow them, Father, to have someone to speak into their life, to plant those seeds. Lord, stir within their body, Lord, the need for change. Bring them out of addictions. Bring them out of the lifestyles they're living. And Father, draw them to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you praise. We give you honor. Lord, we give you ourselves today. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We are standing on high. Lord, we praise you, Father. We give you recipient. Hallelujah. We give you praise. We give you honor. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Worthy, worthy, worthy are you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. He's so good to us. Even when we question him, he's good to us. Even when we wonder, when is the time, he's good to us. Thank you, Jesus. At this time, we want to thank everybody for being out today. Happy Labor Day, right? Happy Labor Day weekend. It's one of those things that we celebrate the whole weekend. And I know a lot of you have off Monday. We have some families that are out of town today. We ask, Lord, for safety over them. And today, at this time, we'd like to thank all of our guests. If we have guests among us, please reach out to the Welcome Center that's right in the middle of our lobby. We have a little gift for you, and we'd like to speak with you. And at this time, we're going to worship in a different way. What are we going to worship doing? All right, in our giving, tithes and offerings. Let's just pray over these as we come and we give. Father, we give today our tithes, our offerings. We ask, Lord, that you use those for your kingdom growth. And Lord, we thank you, Father, that you are faithful. You're faithful, Lord. As we give, we realize that the numbers don't count up on paper, but you're providing. We realize, Lord, that we're following your commands. We ask, Lord, that you use those in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Think about some of the biggest cities in the United States, LA, New York, Chicago, Boston, Miami, San Diego. What do they all have in common? They were built near a body of water. Bodies of water are vital for an economy. They provide ports for trade, food, and often large bodies of water are near rivers with fresh drinking water. Now, in Jerusalem, rivers and large bodies of water are much less common. If you think about the landscape of Jerusalem, the first images that come to mind are likely sand, dirt, and parched terrain. This is why the imagery described in Ezekiel 47 is so captivating. It tells the story of a river. The river starts off as just a small trickle of water, but as the passage continues, soon it's ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, and before long it's so deep that no one can walk across it. The deeper the river gets, the more life flows from it. Listen to how Ezekiel describes the effects of this flowing river. When the water flows into the sea, the water will become fresh. And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live. And there will be very many fish, for this water goes there, that the waters of the sea may become fresh. so everything will live where the river goes. And on the banks, on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month because the river flows for them from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. This passage has been read for a long time as a metaphor of life with God. Think about all of the first readers of this passage. This might have sounded like a description of paradise, a river that makes vegetation grow, gives a source of water, and a never-ending supply of fresh fish. But it's important to understand that the river is not only a picture of the life God wants to bring to us, the river is a picture of what God wants to do through us. Think about this for a moment. The message Jesus preached was good news, a message that can heal the hurting and bring hope. What if us sharing about Jesus is meant to bring life to our families, our friends, our homes, and our neighborhoods? Consider these words of Jesus in the book of John. Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." I think it's easy to look out in the world and see a place not too different from Jerusalem, a place that is parched and dry and thirsty, a place that needs the river of life that Jesus can bring through you. So the only question is, are you ready to dive in?
Come on, how many are ready to dive in? Come on. Amen. Diving in. Praise the Lord. This, I don't know about you, but this series has been exciting for me the last 3 weeks. And I believe God's just going to solidify it today. If you want to follow us on the app, you can just
think about some of the biggest cities in the United States, LA, New York, Chicago, Boston, app. Miami.
All the scriptures are there. It'll make you lazy. You won't have to do anything except look. Amen. And we put them on the overheads here for you today. I trust that the Lord will minister to you. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We want to thank you, God, for the movement of your Holy Spirit, God, even in the early portions of this service. Father, I pray today that you would just loosen up the hard ground of our own spirit, of our own soul. And Father, make us pliable. Cause us, God, to be people who are fertile and ready to be used by you. God, I pray for every person here today. I thank you, Lord, for already touching people. Lord, we pray that if there's anyone who's lost, that today would be the day of salvation for them. We pray that if those who are sick would be healed, those who are bound would be set free. And God, we give you praise for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, for the last 3 weeks, we've shared with you on God's call on our lives to partner with Christ on his mission. Perhaps with his mission, we need to come to an understanding that this is the only thing that will deeply satisfy you. Amen? Yeah, listen, how many of you have ever seen, we'll go back to reference on the video here, how many of you have ever seen or gone by a pond and it was completely just green muck on the top of it, maybe a small pond. It was completely still, no movement, no life. And how many of you like to go swimming in something like that? Come on. Anybody? No. You wouldn't want to get in there because there would be no what? No refreshing. You'd feel like, man, there's creepy things in there. I might get bit. But how many of you have ever been to that ocean? And it's just the waves are breaking and it smells good. That's where a lot of the church people are today. I couldn't help that. It's not in my notes. But it's all right. We bless them. Some of them are watching today online. That's a wonderful thing. And so, but you know, you see that water and it makes you want to do what? It makes you want to get into it. I mean, I've seen kids running when they get their place. They're running, and they're just ripping off their shirt and just run straight to the water. They don't even care about the shirt. They just drop it. Why? Because they want to get in the water, okay? Let me just tell you something. You and I must come to a place where we feel that way about sharing the gospel. Man, I'm telling you, I believe it. I believe last Sunday there was a shift in our meeting. I believe God was speaking to your hearts. And I pray that today he would continue to solidify that. And by the end of this service, we're going to commission some of you just to go out. You've already got the Great Commission. We're going to talk about that today. But we're going to commission you personally again and give you some tools that will help you, creative tools that will help you in doing this. Doesn't it make you feel a tremendous sense of purpose when you touch someone else's life with his love and his message? How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, you run into somebody that you didn't intend to run into, and all of a sudden, this is what we've been talking about, all of a sudden, you're engaging in what? Conversations. That's what we've been preaching about. You're like Jesus with the woman at the well. Hey, can I get a drink? You know, and you engaged in a conversation that ultimately ended up with a spiritual conversation. Just this past week, I had an unusual occasion to take place. Zach and I were just partnering together on some work, and we were in different vehicles in the same town, and we were going to the same destination. So he said, "I'm going to go this way. I got to do this." And I said, "Well, listen, I'm gonna stop by and get us a tea, you know, a healthy tea, and then I'm going to the post office, and then I'm going to the bank." Well, he got the teas. And I said, I'll just be at the post office of the bank. And I thought, you know, he probably thought, well, we're just going to be talking about 10 minutes, right? Well, next thing you know, I get a call. "Hey, Dad, your tea's in your truck." And I realized I've gotten sidetracked. I've gotten engaged in a spiritual conversation, okay? And so he just set my tea in my truck, and he took on off to where we both would meet later. But you say, what was happening? Well, I'm a Southern Bank customer, have been for many years. And I went into Southern Bank just to make a deposit, okay? Labor Day weekend coming up. I got a few checks I've been carrying around until they're almost worn out looking, so I put them in the bank. And on my way out of the bank, somebody say out of the bank. On my way out of the bank, the president of the bank says, "Hey, Wallace, come here." And I was like, "Dude, I don't have time for this, okay? I'm getting ready to go do some work." And so he says, "We were just talking about you, and there's two other bank employees sitting there in the office." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, I was sharing with them a story that you had shared with me." And then all of a sudden, he said, "Can I ask you a question?" Now, this is the president of the bank. "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Sure." And how long was I in there, Zach? 30 minutes maybe? That question opened up opportunity for about 30 minutes of really solid ministry to three bank employees. Amen. Okay? And at the end of it, I said, "Look, guys, I got to go." I said, "My son's already dropped my tea off, and we're meeting. We're going to get some work done today. I got to go, but here's what I did." I said, "But hey, let me bless you with a prayer before I leave." Amen. Okay? Amen. Hey, I'm in the bank, guys. Come on. I'm in the public. I'm not in the pulpit. I'm not standing with the microphone, but God created a pulpit for me. And I said, "Let me just bless you with a prayer before I go. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak peace over this institution today. I thank you, God, for bringing your presence." Listen to what I'm praying. "I thank you, God, for bringing your presence to this bank through your children." Did you catch that? Your presence is here, not just dollars and cents, checks and change. But thank you for bringing your presence here. I thank you, Lord, I continue to pray, that angels encamp around about those who love and fear you, and that your divine protection is on them as they work today. God, I speak peace over them in Jesus' name. Amen. I said, "Hey, guys, enjoyed the conversation. Thank you for calling me in." Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. I'm just giving you an example. You know, there's something I've noticed about my life, and I can't, you know, when I get to heaven, I think I'm going to ask the Lord about it. I've noticed this, that something strange happens to me on Tuesday, okay? Tuesdays is an unusual day for me. It's a day that I always get a surprise. It's a day that I always see God setting me up with conversations with people. It's a day that some unusual anointing kicks in on my life. And so literally Tuesday morning, wherever I'm at or whatever I'm doing, I'm saying, okay, God, what we got today, you know? I'm excited because I know that God is in the business of setting me up to engage others into spiritual conversations. I'm just sharing this with you because this is what I'm expecting for every one of you. Can I just tell you that if every one of us would take those moments, seize those opportunities, because the Bible says seize the time, why? Because the days are evil, okay? So we seize these moments and we take advantage of divine engagements, divine appointments where God allows us to be at the right place at the right time saying or doing the right thing. And God has fruit for that, okay? So I just thank God for that opportunity. I've always had a good long-standing relationship with the bank, physically, emotionally, financially, okay? But now I have a relationship with the bank spiritually, okay? And then, you know, I was in Edenton the other day, again, doing some business, just small business, and I said to the guy, you know, what I needed, and he checked me out. He said, hey, are you the guy that's, aren't you the realtor? I said, yeah, I am. He said, wow. He said, I thought I saw your picture on the road down there. I said, yeah, I just kind of do that part-time. Part-time? What do you do full-time? I said, I'm a pastor. No kidding. Okay? Guess what? Real estate went to the trash. It went down, and he engaged me in a spiritual conversation. Come on, guys. That's a good time. There you go. That's a good time to clap. He engaged me in a spiritual conversation. Well, would you mind if I ask you a question? Okay? That's all it is. It's just a spiritual conversation. And don't ever be intimidated because you could always say, hey, I'll be right back. I got to go to the restroom. Google, okay? Hey, where is it in the Bible? Okay. Okay. Lighten up, guys. Come on. You can always find an answer. Even though the scripture says to you to always be ready for the reason that people ask for the reason that you have this hope inside of you, you need to be ready to give answers, okay? Listen, God wants us engaging in conversations with people. God has poured into us this living water. And he doesn't want us to be a stagnant pond. He doesn't want the muck and the mire of sinful things growing in our lives. When he breathed life into you, he wants life to flow through you, out of you, and he says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He wants everything flourishing. You know, you start out in Ezekiel, he talks about, you know, ankle deep and knee deep and then waters to swim in. God just wants to create life in you and through you. Remember our first story just 3 weeks ago. We talked about the woman at the well. She drank of the living water of Jesus, and she was on her way to the well, and she instantly became a carrier of the message. Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. She instantly became an evangelist, just like that. The illustrated video we saw talked about the benefit of a river having a place to flow. If God has placed the river of life inside of you at salvation, then he wants that river to do what? To flow out of you. He doesn't want it just to be inside of you and all of a sudden you become a stagnant individual with no life inside of you. Ezekiel 47 verse 9, this is what it says about this body of living water. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Did you catch that? Where the river flows, there will be what? Life. Where the river flows, everything is going to live. Where the river of God, the very presence of God flows, it brings life. Look at verse 12. Ezekiel 47, 12 continues. And on the banks, on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. Listen, God has inside of you the ability to bring salvation to other people, the ability to bring deliverance to other people, the ability to bring healing to other people. He's just looking for individuals who will say, Lord, here am I, send me. Come on, somebody. He's looking for individuals who'll be used by God. By participating in God's mission, you are allowing living water to flow through you, and you're participating in the very thing that brought Jesus joy. Last week, our message centered on the sending out of the 12. Remember the story? And then the sending out of the 72. We didn't say a whole lot about what happened after they came back. So let's look at what happened when the 72 disciples that Jesus sent out, how many? Two by two. When they returned, what was their report? Because you see, partnership with Jesus produces tremendous satisfaction. Let me say that again. Partnership with Jesus produces a deep satisfaction. You and I are most satisfied when we do what we're created to do. Have you ever worked a job that you hated? Somebody said, right now. Okay, oh, that's all right. God will help you, okay? Listen, all work is bad, isn't it? All work is bad. It's tough. But have you ever been on a job that you really enjoyed? Come on. Listen, let's just take a poll right quick. How many of you are working jobs? And you know it's a little stressful at times, but you can say, Pastor, I really enjoy what I do. Come on, raise your hand. Look at that. Wouldn't God rather you be doing something that you enjoy doing? Okay? We were talking about drywall yesterday, and Zach brought up a man who's had a long-standing reputation. He's gone on to be with the Lord, but he said, hey, man, what about Rad Sadler? He sure did some drywall, didn't he? We were just talking. Rad Sadler was the drywall king, man. He did that all of his life. He just did it with such ease. And I told Zach, I said, here's the thing I noticed about Rad Sadler. He not only did it with ease, he not only did it for a living, he enjoyed doing it. Who enjoys doing drywall? I don't. But man, listen, to be able to do what you love to do. And let me just tell you something. When you come to Christ and he changes your life and his river begins to flow inside of you, you don't dread sharing the gospel. You will love to share the good news of Jesus. You will love to have a divine interruption in the bank. You will love to say, hey, somebody say, hey, can I ask you a question? Because it brings you a sense of divine purpose for your life, okay? It's not about driving nails or building a deck or pouring cement or wiring a house or running the business. It's not about that. It's about what God allows you to do while you're doing what you do for a living. Amen? It's amazing. Why not take the gospel? I said this last week. Why not take the gospel, the shepherd, with you wherever you go and be ready for an opportunity? So what happened is when the 72 comes back, look at verse number 17 of Luke 10. The 72 come back now from that assignment that Jesus gave them, and they return with joy saying this, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Did you catch that? Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name, because he gave them authority when he sent them out. Even the demons are subject to us in your name. Participation in the mission of Jesus. Some of you might be hesitant. Some of you might be afraid. Some of you might say, well, man, I'd never be like Pastor Mike or Joel or somebody like, I never go to Africa because, I'm scared. You don't have to be afraid when you share the gospel. I've been in some circumstances in other countries when I was really in a dangerous situation, but no harm came to me, okay? I've been in questionable. I've been to Israel many times. I've been sitting on buses where people that I took with me and they trusted me. I'm sitting one night, the Shamleys probably remember this. We were sitting one night in Bethlehem, and I took them shopping. I took the whole group. 30 of us went shopping. And we went into Bethlehem, and we went right on in the city in the gate. But when it come time to leave, they would not let us out. Okay? We watched these guys standing outside the bus with AK-47s cussing at one another and arguing and carrying on. And I'm sitting there as the leader praying, God, have mercy on this bus. Okay, Lord, in the name of Jesus, don't let my people get hurt. Okay? And so one of them comes up to me and says, hey, is everything okay? I said, it's all good, bud. Everything's fine. Okay? We're going to be all right. It took us about an hour and a half or 2 hours to get out of that city of Bethlehem. Every exit we went to, they stopped us. Okay? They did not like it that we were there. Okay? A lot of tension exists there. I took a group one time many years ago, and we were over in Jericho, and the city just went ballistic because somebody got killed in New York. Somebody shot a Muslim in New York, and he was somebody to them, and they just went ballistic. And we were sitting on the bus now, and they started piling up trash and tires and tree limbs. Next thing I said, what are they doing? We're sitting in the middle of traffic here, and there's a ring of trash around our bus. Then they come along with a gas can. They start. I'm sitting in the bus with people from my church, okay? And they poured gas all around it. Next thing you know, boom, whoosh, just like that. We're sitting in what Johnny Cash used to sing about, a ring of fire, okay? And I'm thinking, Lord, have mercy. And I've got a guy on the bus with me who's a military guy. And he's packing, man. He's got plenty of ammunition. And he's got an AK-47. And he comes over to me. He said, Pastor Phillips, no worry. No worry. We're going to be fine. He said, in America, you hold up a sign. Stand on the corner. Abortion is murder. In Israel, we light fires. He said, all they're trying to do is express themselves. They know that every person on this bus is from America. And from their perspective, if you're from America, you're wealthy. And so they appreciate you bringing your money into this country. They're not going to harm you. They're not going to harm you. Well, try to convince 30 people when there's fire going around the bus that they're not going to harm you, okay? Okay. One of the ladies in the church, Nagi Hughes, come up to me, and I'm sitting on the front row. I'm just trying to be calm and peaceful. She's sitting on the front row. You need to be praying. I turned around. I said, Nagi, if you think for one instant, just because I'm not shouting and hollering or speaking in tongues and I'm not praying, I'm sitting in this seat talking to Jesus as fast as I can, okay? You don't have to make a big obstacle about it, you know. I'm praying, okay? We're going to be all right. But I've been in challenging situations. Pastor Mike could probably tell you situations he's been in on mission trips where things were just questionable. Things were in a position where, you know, anything could go either way. But you know what we always see? We always see the God who cannot fail. We always see God do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think or imagine, because he is with you. When the 72 came back, not only are we fine, Jesus, but even demons were subject to your name. We didn't run into any authority that we could not handle because we went in your name. I'm going to tell you something. Participation in his mission leads you to greater authority. You don't have to be afraid to go into a neighborhood and knock on a door. You don't have to be afraid to stop and talk to a stranger. You don't have to be afraid. Why? Because the authority of Jesus is on you. Amen? Listen, we don't need any fear in sharing the gospel. We don't need any fear in releasing his love. No matter what opposition you run into or what circumstances you face, we face them not in our own name, but in the name of Jesus. Come on. It's his authority. Again, verse 17 says that the 72 said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And then he said to them in verse 18, look at what Jesus says back to them. He says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Wow. You scratch your head and say, man, what does he mean there? We'll get to it in a moment, okay? What does he mean there? I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. The 72 were saying to Jesus, Jesus, we saw the hold, we saw the grip of the forces of darkness fall off of those people that we were ministering to. As soon as we mentioned your name, this is what they were saying, people started to experience you. People started to encounter you. Demons left. They said, we experienced victory, Jesus, in your name. I love Jesus' response. He says, while you were seeing demons defeated in the lives of those you were ministering to, I saw their master, Satan, being defeated as if he was falling hard. He saw it. He's already defeated the devil. Listen, Pastor Mike brought this up Wednesday night in a powerful teaching. Listen, Jesus has already defeated the devil, okay? So you don't have anything to worry about. When he comes to you, you need to put him in his place. In the authority of whose name? Jesus' name. Because he's already been defeated on the cross of Calvary. Jesus died for that. The devil was defeated by a battle that took place on the cross. Amen? Amen. Jesus defeated him. It is what? Finished. And he defeated the devil. Amen? Jesus defeated the devil, and in his name, you and I get to walk in divine authority. In his name, we see opposing spirits bound. In his name, we see the oppressed break free. In his name, depression has to break. In his name, captains are freed, chains fall off. In his name, we find liberty and freedom in Jesus' name. Amen? Not only will we experience victory over demonic forces, but we will also have the victory over Satan himself. Luke chapter 10, verse 19, Jesus said this. Look at what he says. He says, behold, I have given you all authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Did you hear that? Nothing shall hurt you. I've given you the authority over all the power of the enemy. About 5 years ago, I was asked by a minister to cover some overscheduling for him. He called me up and he said, hey, Pastor Wallace, would you be willing? He said, I have overextended myself in ministry dates. Would you cover some of them for me? I said, I'd be delighted to. I said, where would you want me to go? He said, I'll get back in touch with you in just a few days. Let me work on it on the calendar. So in a few days, he called me. He said, hey, I want you to go to West Africa to the nation of Ghana. I thought, wow, never been to Africa. So yeah, I'll go there. And he said, and while you're out, you know, like it's just down the road, okay? Like, he said, while you're out, I'd like for you to go to Lebanon and spend about 7 days there. I'm like, Lebanon, Africa, like, you know, not a few miles away, where these are nations apart. I said, but yeah, I'll do it. So as I'm in Africa, they check me into a ministry compound. I'm walking up to the facility, and, you know, the streets are dirty, and there's a stench in the air, and there's all kinds of crazy, ungodly things are going on in the neighborhood. And I'm thinking, wow, so I'm going to be staying here for a few days. And we walked into the compound, and I noticed there were brick walls, block walls about this high. They had cut glass, broken bottles into the cement when they built the wall, and then a big old roll of razor barbed wire all around it. Dogs are in the front. The guard is standing at the gate, and I'm thinking, why all this, okay? why all this? He said, it's for your security, okay? And smiled, okay, I get it. So I'm staying there, man, and just to breathe in Ghana, just to breathe in Accra, in that city where I was, it was just challenging just to breathe. The smell was atrocious, and it was just challenging. And so I'm there in my room, and it's very warm, you know, the air conditioning is doing as best it can, but it's not doing very much. And I'm in this room by myself, and I'm going through all kinds of opposing spirits, you know, just things that are attacking me and attacking my mind. And so I'm going to sleep that night, and all of a sudden, about 2 a.m., I felt something just go and grab my ankles. Both of them, they just grabbed my ankles like they were standing in front of me and just grabbed my ankles. And slowly moved the hands up my leg to my knee to my thigh, right on up, and never stopped until both hands were around my neck. And I began to choke. I just woke up and I began to choke, and I'm thinking, man, what in the world's going on? I didn't see anything, but I was just being choked, and every bit of life was just about out of me. And at the very last moment, I just said, Jesus! And when I said Jesus, everything broke. Everything broke. Everything broke. Two syllables. Man, if you'd have told me that 10 years before that happened to me, I said, man, you had a bad dream. This was not a dream. This was a demon spirit that came into my room and attacked me physically. Okay? About a minute went by, as God is my witness. My wife and I use WhatsApp when I'm traveling in other countries, and that way you can contact each other. And my wife had dialed me, and she's on the phone. She said, "What's going on with you?" I said, "What do you mean?" She said, I just can't get you off my mind. I've been praying for you. What is going on?" And as she could tell you, I couldn't even get it out of my mouth. I was crying just so hard on the phone. I said, "Joy, I just had an encounter with the demon." And I said, "Thank God the Lord summons you to pray for me." And we talked, and she prayed for me, and I wept, man, just kind of got myself together, and we hung up the phone. And then I looked at my room. I had torn my room all to pieces, Pastor Mike. The bed was around sideways. The mattress was hanging off the bed. And I thought, what in the world? I didn't know that I had wrestled this thing for so long until I discovered in the Spirit Jesus was the breaking point. Amen? It was the breaking point. Can I just tell you something? Jesus has given you not a little authority. Jesus has given you all authority, okay? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to you. At his name, behold, I've given you this. You will tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, a demon in Ghana. It doesn't matter where it is. He says, and nothing shall hurt you. Doesn't mean you won't go through experiences. It don't mean that at all. So I have good news for you today. You can carry the message of the gospel without fear. I had somebody to ask me just a few weeks ago. They said, "I got to ask you a question because somebody told me something the other day. I just don't believe it. It just sounds stupid." They said they saw a demon come off of somebody else, some person, and go on to somebody else. "Do you think that they really saw that?" I said, "Yep, I do." He said it was a little green thing about this talk. I said, "I don't care what he said it was." But I said, "Now, if you'd have told me 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, I'd have said, no, he's been eating too much pizza late at night." But you get into the ministry of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I promise you, he will teach you things, and you won't be so apt to be so critical. You know what I'm talking about, Joel? You won't. Because I'm going to tell you something. When Satan fell from heaven, one third of the angelic spirits fell with him. They are demons. They are round about in this earth doing their job. But thank God, just do the math. We still got two thirds, amen. Angels encamp around about those who love and fear the Lord. Angels are watching over you. There are angels in this room right now. You may not be able to see them, but there are angels here. And all night, all day, angels watching over me, my Lord. I don't care where you go. The angelic is there to guard you in all of your ways. Amen. Hallelujah. God has protection over your life. Sharing the gospel should not be something you should be afraid of. You go and carry the gospel message with confidence. Throughout the very first five books of the Bible in the New Testament, we see a familiar reminder in those books consistently where God has invited us to share the gospel. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And Jesus came and said to them, here we go again, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore." I have the authority. I'm giving you the authority. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded them. And behold, I am with you always." He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you because he is watching over you. In Mark's gospel, chapter number 16, the verses are 15 to 18. Jesus says to them, "Go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs," check this out, "and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. You are under the authority of Jesus' name, not your own name. You're not going out on a whim for your own good. You're going because Jesus told you to go. And when you go, you have his authority over your life. Luke chapter 24, verses 45 to 49. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But in the meantime, he said what? Stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. John chapter 20. Verse 21 and 23, and Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. The authority is transferred. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power, dunamis, dynamics of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be what? Witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. God has chosen to empower you and give you authority to share the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. All these passages fall under the big heading of what? The Great Commission. The Great Commission. The word commission is interesting if you break it down and study it. The word commission, Great Commission, is a compound word meaning common mission. It is a common mission. In other words, everybody in this room, we're born again, washed in the blood of Jesus. There is a common mission that we all have. And what is that common mission? To share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to release the living water, to release the joy of the Holy Spirit in the lives of people. It's the common mission that we're called to. All authority has been given to Jesus, and now we read here that now Jesus is giving us that authority to trample over any obstacle that may come our way in the sharing of the gospel with anyone. Several years ago, I was in Egypt, and it was about midnight when we finally got to a hotel in Cairo. And I said, you know what? I was got to ask this question. I said, how far are we from the pyramids? And the guy said, oh, you're probably an hour and a half away from the pyramids. And Brian Sawyer was with me. And I said, you know what, Brian? It would be a shame for us to come to the land of Egypt and not see the pyramids. How many of y'all just agree that would probably be a good thing? You just got to at least see them. So we got a taxi ride, and we traveled. And listen, Egypt never sleeps. It's like a lot of other these countries. They don't go to bed. They're up all night long. And so we're traveling, and the guy's taking us, and he said, I thought he was taking us to see the pyramids, but when I got there, I had paid him $100. He said, $100 to get you there. And he said, when he got me there, he said, okay, you can get off here. Pyramids are over there. I said, no, I thought you were taking me to the pyramids. No, you can't get back there with a car. You have to get a camel. I said, get a camel? How much is that going to cost me? Anybody want to guess? $100, okay. Thank God I had some money in my pocket. So Brian and I are saddled up on the back of a camel. He's on one and I'm on the other, and we're riding through the slums of this city. And I just told Brian, I said, Brian, he said, yeah, Pastor. I said, don't look to the right and don't look to the left. He said, I already figured that out. I said, just keep your eyes straight ahead. And we're riding this camel. It's now 1:45 in the morning. And if you turn to the right or to the left, you could see the most ungodly behavior on both sides of you going. We were riding through a terrible part of the city. And so we just looked straight ahead. And then the guy told us on the camel, he said, now listen, when you get up here to the guard, he said, there's forces up here, authorities up here. When you get up there, you are not an American. I said, what do you mean? He said, they're going to ask you where you're from. He said, you are not from the United States of America. I said, well, dude, we got a problem. I got a passport in my pocket that says, I am from the USA. And I said, I am not going to lie to the man. And I said, Lord, you're going to have to help us with this. You're going to have to help us. And he's leading us on the camel. So we got about 50 yards from where we were supposed to prove who we were and where we were from. And he summons the guy who's leading us. He said, where are you white guys from? He said, they're from Canada. I never told him we weren't from the United States. I never said a word. I told him, he hollered, I was from Harp's homeland. They're from Canada. He said, go ahead in. So we go in there and we see the pyramids. We take a couple of pictures. And when we come back out, we go back up to the city to wait for the next taxi whenever we could find one. And a guy summons us. Hey, fellas, come to my place. Come to my business. And so we stepped up just a couple of steps up, you know, and walked into this room. It was well lit. Didn't know what kind of business this was. And when I stepped in there, took two steps in, I heard two doors go clang. I thought, what is that? And I turned around. Now, it's 2:45 in the morning. I turned around. I'm standing in a small little business. Two iron gates have been shut and a padlock put on the door. I thought, Lord have mercy. What are we going to do now? And I just began to pray. And Brian was moved by the Holy Spirit. Brian, God Almighty touched Brian Sawyer. And that guy was a flame of fire for the gospel, man. He was nailing it. He walked right straight up to the man. And he said, these are things right here. He said, wait a minute. These are things right here that can help you. I have all kinds of potions. And he was a witch doctor, okay? And so Brian says, no, we don't need any of your potions. He said, I'll tell you what we need. We need for you to be healed in Jesus' name. And he touched his back like that, and the man went into a convulsing shake and fell out on the floor. And he laid there for a few minutes and got up and said, he started struggling. He said, here's my keys, and let us out of the place, okay? Can I just tell you, nothing will harm you if you're walking in the authority of Jesus' name. Nothing will harm you. More than likely, you're not going to run into that kind of stuff in your community, okay? I'm not sure that's where you guys live. But I'm just telling you, wherever the commission takes you, would you have ever thought 5 years ago that you've already been where you've been? No. Even Pastor Mike, if I would have said, hey, would you have thought 10, 15 years ago that you've been traveling the globe like this, seeing demons flee and people healed and folks just touched by the power of God? He'd say, no. Listen, you never know what God has intended for you. You never know. This amazing, all authority has been given to Jesus, and now we read here in the Bible that Jesus has given us that authority. I think that is the amazing news about the good news. God is with us to the end of the age. He's not asking us to go out and do this on our own. He's not. We're in partnership with Him. He's commissioning us. Somebody say commission. He's commissioning. It's a common mission. He's commissioning us to share the good news. Fear, doubt, shame, all of that is gone when we share the gospel. We've been commissioned. We release the message of Jesus that brings life to us. The river that flows in us, He wants that river to flow out of us. Amen? I want you to take a look at this video. It's a story of someone who was faithful to just share the gospel as Jesus called him to do.
I was in a new town with no friends and no family. I was in a new town with no friends and no family. I got to the point where I was driving somewhere and I said out loud in my car even, there is no God. This is so miserable. There's no way there's a God. I moved to Carroll about 8 years ago. I was engaged at the time, and eventually that engagement was broken. I was raised Christian, and then some situations in my life kind of led me away from God for a while. That was a time where I felt really hopeless, and I didn't want to be around people. I felt like I was going to be going to work, coming home, and that was my life. At one point, I went to a counselor, and one of the things we discussed was that you need people in your life, and I fought with him and said, no, you don't. You know, I'm fine sitting in my house by myself. I don't need anybody. One Saturday, I was sitting in the living room reading, and I had my Bible out and was reading some of these verses, and I just prayed and said, God, I don't know how to do this. You've got to come help me because I just don't know how to change things. It was about 2 hours later that there was a knock on the door.
The reason Carol first kind of wanted to get into going home to home was we just felt like one of our mission statements as a church was connecting people to Christ, which goes along with that Great Commission very well. So it was taking that into the community.
Pastor must have been the one that created a map of Carol and put it in different segments. We went to a neighborhood just south of the railroad tracks that, you know, I've driven past there before, but I really honestly didn't know anyone that lived over there. We were kind of getting done, we were kind of getting tired. We'd had a lot of people say, no, no, thank you. And I think we looked across the street and I'm like, let's do one more.
I opened the door and was this couple and their four kids. They said to me, we're just going door to door meeting our neighbors and just wonder if there's anything that we can pray with you about.
She kind of peeked out. She didn't even move all the way out the door or anything. So she was, I could tell she was a little intimidated.
You know, I thought for a minute and said to them, no, I don't think so, but thank you. And, you know, kindly sent them out on their way. And about 10 minutes later, you know, I started thinking, you just prayed, God, come help me. Help me figure this out. And somebody came and knocked at your door. That doesn't happen. It was as if God knocked on my door and said, I heard you. I'm here. I knew that I needed to get involved with people and get out of my house. So I knew where I needed to go was church. So church is just down this road and over. I was looking for a contemporary church, and I'd heard that this church had music and drums and things like that. And I walked in and there was already singing. And I felt God was there immediately. You just could feel it. Like the song says, I felt heaven falling in this place. The neat thing is when I went to this church and just felt like home, and it was a couple months later that I realized that Brent and Dayan were in that church.
When we heard Kelly's testimony at church, I remember just thinking, wow, she really was going through a troubled time, and I was thankful that God had just placed us at the right time, right at her doorstep. For whatever reason, you know, she didn't accept prayer, but she found her way to the church, and she's even serving in church, which is amazing and awesome.
I'm on the worship team. I play the bass for the worship team, and I'm in a Bible study on Wednesday nights, and some of the most genuine Christian women you'll ever meet.
You don't know what part you're going to have in someone's salvation story, whether you're going to be the one planting a seed, whether you're going to want be the one helping to grow the seed. We need just the obedience and going through with this out of love for God and love for our neighbors. It really proved God was just faithful through the whole thing.
The worst they can do is say no and close the door. But even if they do say no and close the door, you don't know how that impacts them behind that closed door.
What you're going to run into, whether you knock on a door or engage someone in a conversation. You never know what God had intended for that moment. It's just our call, our commission, it's common, our common mission to be God's mouthpiece to be at the right place at the right time. And when those moments come, and you know they are, to seize those moments. To realize, you know, well, you say, well, you know, I'm not a pastor. Listen, he's not looking for pastors. He's looking for pastors to do their job and extend the opportunities and the invitation to the people, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's what the pastor's job is. I love to share the gospel. I love to walk into those divine encounters and just feel like I may not have given them scripture. That may not be what God wants you to do. If you can just tell your story, you know, you could say, man, I feel you. My life was a mess and God changed me, and now I can't wait till Sunday comes. I go to carpenter shop. That's all you have to do. Just open up a conversation. Well, I don't know if God could even accept me. Okay. Then you can share scripture. You can pray. You can do whatever you're set up to do. But you got to be willing to engage people in conversations. I'm going to share with you this morning the tool. It's a simple tool. It looks like a book. And you'll see a band around it. That's a bracelet, just a elastic top bracelet for you. It's a wristband. Thank you, Joy. I'm losing my words here. It's a wristband. It says Jesus changes everything. You can wear that wristband as a reminder of why you have it on. I was commissioned, not just today, but you were commissioned a long time ago, okay? You were commissioned by Jesus. And inside of that stack, there are 52 cards. And one of the methods that they ask you to do is to, when you go to work on Monday, just take a card and stick it in your pocket. It may be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Maybe it takes till Thursday, but somewhere along the line, God's going to open up an opportunity for you to engage someone in a spiritual conversation. You know what it says on the front of this card? You're amazing. Okay? On the back of it, it says, has anyone ever told you that you were amazing? When you look at your life, you may see a mixed bag of success and failures. What if even on those days you knew without a doubt that you are loved, that you are chosen? The Bible records many stories of people who wrestled with their worth, their purpose, and their life, and even made a lot of mistakes. But when they called out to God, they found a loving Father who desired relationship with them. God sees you just as you are at this very moment. And God says about you, you're amazing. If you want to know more about Jesus, just scan this code. And they have the ability to go online and find out anything they need to find out about the gospel of the Bible. But also, there's a few cards on each pack. They're Carpenter Shop Church business cards. We don't have but a few on your pack, but we've ordered some more, and we'll have them here hopefully for you in the next Sunday or so. So you need to be able to share a card with them about Christ, but you need to also be willing to invite them to church. Hey, why don't you consider coming to my church, and just give them a Carpenter Shop card. That's really all you have to do. Just take the packet and start each week with just one. You might run out of cards in 3 weeks. I don't know what's going to happen for you. But the plan is that you share the gospel with someone at least once a week. If I were to ask you, how many of you have shared the gospel with someone just this last week? If you know for sure you shared the gospel last week, raise your hand. Okay? Good number of people. Do you know for sure that you shared the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with someone every week for the last solid year? Could you raise your hand? You know, we're not really sure, are we? Some say yes. But this will give you a sense of reminder. You got a wristband on your hand. You got a message, a series that you've heard, 4 messages on every home for Christ, encountering God. And you've got a packet of very simple tools that you can place in someone's hand and not really have to say a whole lot. And so I'm just going to ask you to come this morning as we worship. And we're going to just breathe a quick, very quick prayer over you and give you one of these. Pastor Mike and Pastor Bonnie, if you would just come. Pastor Joy, join me here. I want to equip you with something that you can use, okay? Just take your time and come. You don't have to form a large line or stand in line or anything, but just come. And we want to share this with you today. While they're coming, while you go ahead and begin, I'm going to just ask Dylan and Crystal Ralph to please stand and just wave at you guys this morning. These are a precious couple from Sanford, North Carolina, staff pastors at One Hope Church. And they happen to be vacation in a few days, maybe not call it a vacation, just a little retreat at the Barnabas House here the last few days. Had the privilege of taking these boys out on the boat last night late. And so pray for them at One Hope Church. Amen? Pray for them. You know, Pastor Greg has preached here several times. And this is Pastor Greg and Lisa's daughter and son-in-law and two precious kids here. Praise God. You guys can go ahead and sing, and let's just worship God. If you have a need, listen, if you have a need and you don't want to leave this building today without being prayed for, just come and stand at the altar, and a prayer person will meet you here. Just come after you get your tool here, and someone will pray for your special needs. some of you are thinking, man, I can go through these cards in no time, okay? How many of you feel like, hey, I could have used more than one, amen? We have these resources available for us at all times, cost-free. They're free to us, okay? Good news. Somebody say good news. Good news, there is a youth version. This is like, you're amazing. It's anybody can receive that. But there's a special youth version that is being printed right now. They're not complete yet, but our order has already been submitted for the first round of youth ones when they become available. So as soon as UPS brings them, as soon as they're printed, we'll release them to you. If you feel like you need more than one today, no problem. You can come up and get another one. But just know this. You don't have to worry about, hey, I'm afraid they're going to be out of them. We have probably 300 or 400 more back in the back. And so we won't be out of them. I'll make sure we have them at all times. So share the gospel. It's so easy. It's so easy for God to set you up to a conversation. We've just got to learn how to seize them. Amen? Got to learn how to seize them. And so I just appreciate the opportunity that we had today to pray over you. We need to arm this worship team up. So if you guys would come and give them one while they're standing there and worshiping. Also, there's Carpenter Shop cards on the outside. Not only are you sharing the gospel, but you're also got a card there that is Carpenter Shop card. You say, hey, you know, I just want you to, you know, I want to share this with you, that God's love for you, but why don't you consider coming to our church? Just 10 o'clock on Sunday, okay? Can you imagine the effect if this morning, you know, there's over 100 people already that have come forward and grabbed the tools? Can you imagine what would happen if you just had even a 20% success rate? If 100 people are inviting and 20%, what if 20 more people showed up next Sunday than did today? Okay, so let's go to work, guys. Let's dive in. Come on, let's dive in. And let's see God do amazing things. Amen. Thank you so much for bearing with me as we work through this. I know it's been 4 weeks, and we talked about the passion, the purpose, and all of that of Jesus. And I pray that you'll take it to heart, and that you'll go out of here today with the common mission of sharing the good news. Pray for me as we move into another season now of preaching and ministry. We're going to be talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to preach next Sunday on the Holy Spirit. And we're going to believe God for that power to enable us to share the gospel wherever we go. Amen. God bless you. Joel, would you come and dismiss us in prayer this morning? And listen, if you're here, I just keep feeling this. If you're here today and you have a need, listen, please come. Please come. Don't leave this building if you feel like, hey, I wish I'd have gone forward. I wish I'd have gone up for prayer. I just feel that in my spirit this morning. If you need something from God, don't leave this building. Come. Come. The opportunity is here for you right now.
Father, we just come to you today, Lord. We give you praise. All the praise is yours, Lord. All the glory is yours, Lord. Lord, we ask that you just build us up in your great commission today, Lord, and give us the strength through the Holy Spirit to go out and spread your gospel and invite people to church, Lord. Lord, we ask for protection for our pastor and all the pastors around the world, Lord, as we go out to the nations and spread your word, Lord. All this we pray in your heavenly name. Amen.